So, good morning. I'm so thankful that you're here. I hope that you're still thankful that you're here after this message. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And while you're turning to Hebrews chapter 13, I need to make a quick announcement. So, this Sunday is perfect. I didn't want a big crowd here today. But next Sunday, there will be a big crowd here. And in anticipation of that, the elders have directed the staff to begin two services starting next Sunday. So we're going to have what we call a soft launch next Sunday. That's the 18th. And there won't be, it'll be bare bones. It'll be music and preaching starting at 9 o'clock. No child care or anything like that. Then on the following Sunday, the 25th, help me out. 8 o'clock, thank you. 8 o'clock for the whole foreseeable future. First service starts at 8. On the 25th, there will be Sunday school at 9, and then our regular service at 10:30. I'm going to say 9 so people will be on time. No, I'm teasing. Yeah, because the first service will go from 8 to 9, and we actually have to stop. And then, so 9:15 is Sunday school, 10:30 is church. But next Sunday is only the first service, no Sunday school. The following Sunday, the full schedule starts. And I would also ask you if it's possible for you to come to the early service next Sunday. It'd probably be helpful, because if we have the early service and no one comes to it, we'll have the same problem at 10:30. So if you're an early riser, and or even if the Lord leads you, I'd love to have you beginning next Sunday at 8 o'clock. And there'll be more to say about this second service in the future, but I just wanted to let you know next Sunday will be the first one. Okay. Any clarification? You're in Hebrews chapter 13. Now I want you to look at verse 17. And here's what it says. I'm just going to, before I read the text, I do kind of want to position this thing a little bit. And so I want to start by saying that our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is what God is doing in our lives. This is what he will do. And that is out there in the future. It's also true that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that he has made us new creatures now, and we already have the character and nature and righteousness of Christ imparted to us now. So there's a future. There's a now as a completed thing that Jesus Christ has done for us. And then there's also this sort of progressive reality that the image of Christ becomes increasingly manifested in us to the degree that we obey and submit to Jesus. So do you see these three pieces? There's this destiny where we're going to be exactly like Christ. There's this reality that he is, that we are new creatures in Christ now, and we share his righteousness. And there's also this reality that the character and nature of Christ is manifested in us, made visible to people around us right now, to the degree that we obey and submit to Jesus Christ. Do these three things make sense? So the goal of every Christian is greater surrender to Jesus, expressed in personal obedience and submission to Jesus Christ as Lord. And there's no disagreement on that. We all know that we need to obey Jesus personally. Obey Jesus and submit to Jesus. And when I come here to Hebrews chapter 13, I realized that I'm going to be preaching one of the most countercultural messages that I've ever preached here. We live in America. It's the land of the free and the home of the brave. Nobody tells us what to do. We're free, we're independent, and we like it that way. Give me an amen. For Christians, there is an exception, of course. I've already set this up for you. As Christians, we know we're not totally free, right? We have an obligation to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord. And so we're these free, independent Americans, and we sort of have this idea that I'll obey and submit to Jesus, but I'm the final judge. I'm the final arbiter of what it means to obey Jesus. I alone decide the will of Jesus, and no one else can tell me what to do. And this is contrary to the Word of God. And I know it's not comfortable, but I'm not here to give you comfort in opposition to the truth. If this is your position, that I alone am the final arbiter of determining the will of God in my life, then this text is going to be rather jarring. But just remember, this is the Word of God, and we have to let it change us rather than change the Word of God to fit our preconceived ideas. So here's the text. It's not long, but it is challenging. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to live honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. So I'll give you the big picture is we can't obey and submit to Jesus while simultaneously rejecting the spiritual authority that he has placed over us. I know this is a hard, hard word. Make no mistake, to refuse to submit to authorized human authority, but human authority that is authorized by God is actually to rebel against divine authority. I'm not expecting a whole lot of amens. It's not how we think. This passage is about followers and leaders. And I'm going to talk about how to be a good follower and a good leader by looking at the responsibilities of followers and the responsibilities of leaders that are clearly laid out in this text. And so we begin with the responsibilities of the follower. And the first one that's clear in our text is the follower must obey. And I hope that you'll read this with me in your text. Verse 17, with your own eyeballs in your own scripture, obey your leaders. The verb here for obey is imperative. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. This word, obey, comes from the Greek word pythaomai. It means to be persuaded or convinced. And it came to mean obey. So the etymology of it is important because we're not talking about blind obedience. We're talking about a conscious decision that someone makes to choose to follow God-given leaders in obedience to him. The first responsibility of a follower is to obey. The second is to submit. And we read that right there in verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. So the idea of submission is similar to obedience, but it is slightly different because it means to yield under or to give way under. And this word focuses on the will. The idea behind submission is very close to what Brad preached about last Sunday in surrender. We're yielding our will to someone else. And an example of this word, as it's used in another place, is Paul in Galatians 2:5 was in this tremendous conflict with some spiritual leaders. And he says in Galatians 2:5, he says, we did not, in fact, let's just look at it real fast. Galatians 2:5. Okay. So there were some godly leaders in the church who were being disobedient. Okay? And Paul says there was all this pressure on them to compromise the truth of the gospel. And then in verse 5, listen to what he says. To them we did not yield in submission even for a moment, that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. So this is an example of not submitting and not yielding, okay? And he didn't yield and he didn't submit because he was being led in opposition to the truth of the gospel. So he stood strong and he didn't yield to human spiritual authority, but he yielded to Christ's authority. Now, here in our passage, okay, I want you to understand the meaning of the word. There is a time not to yield, but in our text, it's very clear, and submit to them. He's commanding us to submit to our spiritual authority. That's normal. Defying spiritual authority is abnormal, even though there is a place for it, which I'll get to in a moment. So the first responsibility of a follower is obedience. The second responsibility is submission. In theory, following someone is not all that bad until they start giving us instructions. And sometimes, when we're following someone, the instructions that they give us are hard. They might say, memorize that chapter, or read this section of scripture, or stop thinking about that, or repent of that sin. And a good follower must submit to those kinds of instructions. So I ask the question, we already know the answer. Are there limits to obedience and submission to human authority that's been established by God? And the answer is absolutely there are limits. Paul did it in Galatia. We know that the apostles did it when the Jewish leaders commanded them not to speak anymore in the name of Jesus. What was their answer? They said, you tell us whether it's right to obey God rather than men. And so they chose to obey God rather than men. This is the exception. If humans, struggling with precision in my language here, but see, there's human authority that's been established by God. Okay, and when that human authority, even established by God, violates the clear teaching of Scripture, we must not obey them. Well, what about when they're not violating the Word of God? What must we do? We must obey and we must submit. I... The word of God that I just read to you, that commands us to obey our leaders, is totally unambiguous. It's not complicated. It's crystal clear. Thus, we are compelled by the word of God to obey our leaders unless they are commanding to us to violate an equally unambiguous scripture or truth. Are you with me? To the extent that spiritual leaders lead in harmony with the scriptures, we are required to obey them and submit to them. To obey godly spiritual leaders is to obey Christ. And to rebel against spiritual authority is to rebel against Christ himself. And that's why I'm preaching this message, because I love you. And our rebellion is not okay. Number three, the follower must encourage, i.e. not be a burden. The scripture goes on to say, let them do it, that is lead, with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. As we obey and submit to godly leaders, we will be a tremendous encouragement to our leaders. But if we are half-hearted or rebellious, they'll be discouraged and they'll groan. And why will they groan? Well, partly because you're making their job difficult, but don't you see what their job is? This word groaning has the idea of being in great travail. And Paul uses this same word when he says, I am in great travail until Christ be formed in you. The godly leader is not trying to throw his weight around. He's trying to help you be conformed to the image of Christ in this life, to experience the fullness of being conformed to the image of Christ. He wants Christ to be formed in you, and that's why he groans whenever you make it difficult. It makes no sense to resist the leadership of those who are desperately trying to help us walk in greater obedience to Jesus Christ. And then that brings us to verse 3, the follower must pray. There's three imperatives here. And the three imperatives are obey, submit, and pray. I think this one might be the most important of the three. Prayer is essential. Why? Because you're following a man or a woman. And as such, they will eventually fail. Not may, they will. The only question is how hard and how far, but they will fail. So we must hold our leaders up in prayer for their protection and ours. We have to pray for our leaders. And this is, again, not optional. Every time you think about it, I'm not trying to put a burden on you here, but I am trying to encourage you. When you think about leaders and even, oh my gosh, I have to follow this leader, then that should induce prayer for them so that they can lead you in the way that Jesus would have them to. The only leader that we can follow who will never fail us is Jesus Christ himself. And yet, Jesus has commanded us to obey these earthly leaders that he's placed over us. And so, we must pray for them. Okay, that's the responsibilities of a follower, and they're not easy. And now we need to look at the responsibilities of a leader. And the responsibilities of a leader start with the leader must give verbal direction. This is implied in the text. If I don't tell you what to do, how are you going to do it? You can't obey me unless I tell you what to do. I can't obey you unless you tell me what. Do you understand? It's implied. The response. And some of us would sort of like that not to be the responsibility of a leader. But it is implied in the text. The leader must give verbal direction. You cannot obey or submit if no one is leading. So leaders must give direction. They must give verbal direction. In short, leaders must tell their followers what to do. And man, we don't like that. Some of you are leaders in this room. And yet, you refuse to give verbal direction. You're afraid that someone will feel that you're proud or haughty. And this kind of humility only makes you ineffective. To lead, you must give direction. You must give instruction. You must lovingly and boldly speak the truth to those whose God has given you to lead. So un-American for someone else to tell us what to do. Look at number two. The leader must provide a demonstration. See, he says in regards to this leadership capacity that they're in, after asking them to pray for them, he says, "For we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things." See, he's saying the leader is responsible to have a clear conscience and to live honorably. So not only must the leader tell what to do, he must show what to do. The leader's life must reflect the things that he is trying to build into the follower. It is never okay for a leader to hold his people to a higher standard than the one to which he holds himself. He has to demonstrate to his followers the very life that he's calling them to live. And then, next, the leader must be on location. And look at verse 19 again. It says, "And I urge you all the more to do this so that I may be restored to you soon." The writer of Hebrews didn't want to send down divine decrees from his ivory tower. He longed to be with his people, his followers, in person. And what I say about leadership is time together is essential. You know, the greatest leader who ever lived was Jesus. And if you look at his ministry and how he did it, he had some followers, right? But he didn't just tell them what to do from a distance, man. He got into their lives, into the nitty-gritty of everything. They lived with him and ate with him and worked with him and tried to recreate with him. And even though sometimes that got torpedoed. And so that's what Jesus did. He spent massive amounts of time with his disciples. He was in person, on location. And the effectiveness of a spiritual leader in the life of a follower will be directly related to the amount of time the leader is able to spend with the follower. There's no way around this. It takes time. The leader must be present. And so I want to warn some of you, because some of you are trying to follow people that you've never even met. This is so unwise. You need time with that individual. They need to speak to you personally. You need to watch them carefully. You need to see how they engage and learn how they walk and how they talk and how they think. One of the most influential people in my life was a guy named Paul Kemp. When I was a young kid, and he was a college student, he came to be the youth pastor of, and there are a few people on the planet who influenced my life more than this man. And how did it happen? He spent massive amounts of time with me, like hours a day. I guess I wasn't very busy. I was 12 years old or something. He spent massive amounts of time with me, and I was like his little shadow. I remember this so vividly. I admired him so much. So I wanted to wear the same kind of shoes. I wanted to wear the same kind of jeans. I wanted to wear the same kind of t-shirt. I styled my hair the way he did it. I aped him in every respect, okay? And by the time that summer was over, I was a more godly man because I was following him in everything. Does that make sense to you? Have any of us ever really humbled ourselves to follow someone? We're so independent. And we're actually so arrogant. And this text is calling us to a different kind of life where we actually have a leader and we follow them. And you say, I have Jesus. And here Jesus is telling you, find a person. Not that Jesus isn't a person, amen? He's totally a person. But he's in heaven. We have to learn to follow, and we have to learn to lead. And the leader has to be on location. You actually have to know them. The writer of Hebrews knows how important this personal connection is, and that's why he is basically saying, pray that I will be restored to you soon. These letters are good, but I need time with you. Why? Because direction and demonstration go hand in hand. There's verbal and visual elements to proper leadership, and we have to exercise both. And then, finally, the leader must provide protection. Verse 17, remind you what it says there. I'm in Galatians, but I'll turn back to Hebrews. There in verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who must give an account. The goal of the leader is to produce Christ-likeness in the lives of their followers. And as it turns out, leading people toward Christ-likeness is the only way to protect them. It is an uncompromising focus on knowing Christ and obeying Christ and being like Christ that protects us. And that's why every godly spiritual leader is constantly pushing toward that end, Christ-likeness. Any other pursuit is dangerous and could destroy our souls. The only way that leaders can protect their followers is to steadfastly point them to Christ. The problem that comes the protection that comes from godly leaders is the primary reason the scripture gives for our obedience and submission. We obey and submit because godly leaders are trying to protect us. They're trying to save us. And at the same time, this phrase, they keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account, serves as a crystal clear warning to all who would be in spiritual leadership. Leaders command sparingly, and only when they have full confidence in the will of God, precisely because they will give an account. This is the way I read this. They will give an account for the behavior of those who follow them. If I lead you and you follow, I'm responsible for your behavior. And that would be terrifying if I did anything else other than beg you to surrender to Jesus and obey Jesus and live like Jesus. I'll take my chances with that kind of leadership. The leaders will give an account for the soul of their followers. This is going to be a bad day for a lot of leaders when Jesus comes back, because they've been selfish and led people away from Christ. And they'll be held accountable. But let me also say this. Remember, there are limits to this authority. And if someone's leading you away from Christ, don't let them. Don't let them. Reject that authority. But come under the authority of those who would point you to Christ. All right, now this warning is so strong that some of you say, forget that leadership stuff. I'm not taking that responsibility. And I beg you, please don't let that warning keep you from leading. Church, the kingdom of God is dying for godly leadership. We need more, not less. And it's with joy and gratitude to God that I make this confession before you. There are more godly leaders in Faith Bible Church than any church I have ever pastored, and it's not close. And I'm praying for God to raise up even more men and women in our church who will take up the mantle and be willing to lead. Now, I want to make some applications, and I want to do it on two levels. First level is this. Faith Bible Church is an elder-led congregation. The elders at Faith Bible Church are committed to servant leadership model as taught by Christ. Membership at Faith Bible Church involves a commitment to obey and submit to the authority of the elders as they submit to the authority of Christ. If that was not clear, Faith Bible Church is an elder-led church. If you're going to be a member here, you owe them your obedience and submission. Why do you owe it to them? Because God told you to do it. Very clearly, very unambiguously in His Word. Now, I have a unique position because I'm an elder, but also, in a sense, an employee. And as an employee, I am radically committed to submit to the authority of my elders. I serve Jesus Christ alone as Lord, and in obedience to Jesus Christ as Lord, I do what my elders tell me to do. I have to submit just like everybody else. And here's what I can tell you about my elders. They keep watch over my soul, and I love them for it. If you just turned me loose and I was king of the world, everybody would probably go to hell. Especially me. I have to be protected. I have to be guarded. I have to be counseled. The mistakes that my elders have kept me from making in this church are too numerous to recount. I'm not asking you to submit when I'm not submitting. I have to submit to them. They're my God-given authority. And they're my bosses, frankly. Now, what you also have to see is that here at Faith Bible Church, every elder has to submit to the rest of the elders. I'm not alone in this. See, elders aren't requiring submission of you when they don't have to submit. Guess what? Every elder doesn't get his way all the time. Somebody say amen. Amen. Do you see that? They have to submit to each other. And why do they submit to each other? They do it because the rest of those men are keeping watch over their soul. It's one who must give an account. We aren't smart enough to figure everything out on our own. We're not even always smart enough to read this correctly. And we need the group to discern the will of God and make it clear for us, especially when it's not explicit in the text. Man, this is why we need spiritual authority. Your spiritual authority is trying to save you. If they're doing it the way God's commanded them to. All right, so that's one level of application. And so now it goes without saying. Maybe I made it clear. There's no one at Faith Bible Church who is not required by the scripture to obey and submit to their leaders. And here that's elders. So when elders plead with you to obey and submit, they're not asking you to do something that they don't have to do themselves. The bottom line on this level is that submission and obedience to elders is not optional. Not at Faith Bible Church. There's a lot of churches where you can go and do whatever you want. But here, submission to elders is not optional because God's commanded us to obey them and submit to them. Now I want to apply it on another level. We have 10 or 12 elders and 500 people. Very few of you will have the opportunity to submit to an elder on a personal matter. And that's why we need more godly leaders. Men and women who are raised up by God to help shepherd individuals in the body of Christ. All elders are leaders, but not all leaders are elders. You don't have to be an elder to lead. And we have lots of good, godly leaders in this church. And so I want to give you a few things to consider. First, I want you to choose a leader. Okay, not just someone far away, someone near at hand. Some of you need to repent of your pride and learn how to submit to a godly leader, someone who's in your life on a regular basis. Someone that will help, someone that you trust, who will help shepherd your soul. Someone that you respect enough to submit to and obey, because when they speak to you, they are giving you godly counsel from the Word of God. This has saved my life so many times that I had people that I considered godly leaders, and I obeyed and submitted to them. Now, this isn't in lieu of Jesus, okay? This is in obedience to Jesus. If you don't have a leader to submit to and obey, and that's speaking into your life about things that actually matter, you need one. Second thing I would say, some of you have leaders, but you might need to reevaluate who you're following based on these biblical principles. If you don't really know the person you're following, and if that person isn't constantly leading you to greater surrender to Jesus and a fuller manifestation of Christ-likeness in your life, then you need a new leader. Number three, I would say, once you choose a leader, you need to follow your leader. Get serious about letting your leader help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Start doing what they tell you, even when it's hard. I don't know how many of you heard Brad's message last week, but his life began to change when he entrusted some men around him with spiritual authority, and he began to do what they said. And until then, his life was a mess. Amen, Brad? Yeah. I know this is un-American. Number four, be willing to be a leader. Being a spiritual leader takes time getting to know Christ through his word, and then it takes time being with people to help them learn to follow Christ. But I'm praying that many, many, many of you, men and women in this congregation, will be willing to be leaders. Look, there can never be coercion in the kingdom. Jesus doesn't force me to obey him, even though he could, amen? And no spiritual leader ever coerces, never forces obedience, okay? That's not what we're after here. But there's a big difference between standing on the sideline and watching someone destroy their life versus taking a step forward as a spiritual leader and speaking the truth in love in such a way that if that person would submit to the truth that you shared with them, their life could be saved. We need more spiritual leaders. We need them articulating the truth, demonstrating the truth. Amen? And all of these characteristics. And so I wrap it up simply by saying this. The focus of spiritual leadership is Christlikeness. This is what we're about. This is why we follow. This is why I follow. And this is why I lead. We want to be more and more like Jesus in our behavior. We already are like him because of the cross and the resurrection. We already are new creatures. And someday we're going to stand before him in glory. And he is going to see his own son reflected back to him. He's going to see us in the image of Christ in perfection. But between who we are and where we're going, there is this process of manifesting Christlikeness in an increasing fashion. And that happens through this process of following and leading. And I don't want you to miss out on it by ignoring what God has put in place to make us more like Jesus. What he's given us to make us more like Jesus is leaders that we need to submit to and obey. I just feel compelled to read the text one last time and we'll close. Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do it with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. And I urge you, the more earnestly, do this in order that I may be restored to you sooner. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your clear word here, and I pray that you would open our hearts to accept the authority of your word and be obedient to this clear message. Help us to submit to you by submitting to the authority that you have placed over our lives. God, help us. We need your strength. Humble us, strengthen us, and enable us to obey the authority that you have placed over us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship. I want to make a pledge to you that as a member of the Elder Board of Faith Bible Church, I'll never be party to commanding anyone or any group of people to do anything that will, hold on, let me say it a better way. If it's not going to make you more like Jesus Christ, I won't be a part of that as a command. And if we ever do it, you disobey us. You understand? Now, the very one who commands us in this matter of submission, our Lord Jesus, understands submission. For though he was in by very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the very form of a servant and being found in the likeness and appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient, not just to something unpleasant, but to death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I'm telling you, submission is the path to life. And Jesus commands us to do it because he did it himself and he's reaping the fruits of it for all of eternity. Let's bless you in the name of the Lord. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he himself work in us what is pleasing in his sight, so that Jesus Christ can be exalted both now and forever. Amen. You're dismissed.
We hope you've been inspired and blessed by the truths of God's word shared today. At Faith Bible Church, we believe that all Christians should actively participate in the local church. It is in the community of believers where we grow in faith, encourage one another, and serve God together. We invite you to visit and hopefully become a part of our Faith Bible Church family. You'll find a welcoming and nurturing environment to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Our address, service times, and more information can be found on our website, brazosfaith.org. Thank you again for joining us in this meaningful journey through God's Word.